And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to our Smart Garden Show. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. It's so wonderful to be here with you.
Oh, it's always fun to have you on the air, along with your colleagues, Mary and Julie. We always like to talk, for good reason, about the University of Minnesota website, the Extension website. And just to prove I practice what I preach, I was looking for shrubs that can deal with shade, and I came upon that very subject matter, thanks to our friend Julie Weisenhorn. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing the information you can find. We'll talk more about that website, but for those that have not checked it out, if you love gardening, even if you're beginning, and you just kind of want to jump in with both feet and just try your hand or your green thumb, extension.umn.edu. It's really worth checking out. I just had to say that to begin because
it's amazing.
I was using it.
Denny, did you see that they have climate-ready trees or for our changing climate? They've now got a whole area for trees and shrubs, and you can choose what part of the state you live in, and they'll give you some suggestions for the trees that will handle the upcoming changes.
Isn't that great?
So it's for woodlands, but you could do that in your city and your town and just start creating that change. Put those trees in, that'll do better, and that's easier on you and better on the trees.
Yeah, more specific information. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Teresa is here to help you out to answer any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. Let me give you the number, and it's good for either a phone call. We'd love to hear your voice. Or you can just send Teresa your text like a lot of folks are already doing. Either way, here's the number, 651-461-9226. Here's one for you, Teresa. First one came in. I've had my amaryllis indoors in a bright sunny light all summer. I'm going to put it away in a dark room, and I'm wondering if I should give it a drink of water before I do that, and how long do I keep it in the dark before I bring it back out again?
That's an excellent question. I definitely would give it a little drink of water before you put it away, and then I'd head to the extension page, extension.umn.edu, and they'll talk you through all the steps that you need to take, how to figure out when to bring it out of dormancy so that you can time the bloom, whether it's for your December holidays, your January, your February holidays, whatever holiday you're trying to aim for. It'll give you that idea when to start bringing it out back into the light and watering it well.
I know we will be getting some questions or comments about dormant seeding our lawns.
Mm-hmm.
And we are coming up to that time. I'm hearing some weather folks saying it won't be long now. In a matter of days, we could be seeing snow. We could be seeing frost. We know it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the next few weeks or so, maybe sooner. And that's when you do start to consider dormant seeding. Am I right?
Right. You want to do it just as the ground is starting to freeze. It hasn't frozen all the way yet, but we're also starting to get those snows that are staying. So you've got to get the seeds in there while the ground's still not quite frozen, so you can pat the seeds down and have really good seed-to-soil contact, but then the snow will cover it up, so then it just has that little blanket of snow over the top, and then it can just sit there all winter and wait to grow for you.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear more during this hour. Let's see, there's more coming in here. A friend, the texter says, is thinning her raspberry patch and offering us plants. Is it possible to transplant raspberries this time of year?
It is possible. It's not the best time, but if this is when you've got them, dig them up, get them in the ground as quickly as possible. They like a nice, rich organic soil with full sun. And then just water them in really well, and then give them a nice layer of mulch, maybe 1 or 2 inches. And then as the ground starts to cool down in a week or so, you can add some more mulch on top of that. That's going to give them a little more of a winter mulch. And then as the ground freezes, mulch them nicely and do protect them from rabbits, because rabbits and deer will love them all winter long.
Yeah, for sure. 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us this Saturday morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those lawn and garden questions for you. Let's grab a phone call. Dorothy is checking in this morning from Minneapolis, I do believe. Dorothy, thank you. What is your question, Dorothy, for Teresa?
Good morning. I have a burning bush shrub, and I know it has another official name, but I can't think of that. Anyway, it's overgrown, and I'm wondering, is it too late to trim it back now?
Dorothy, that's a really question, and that's a really good question. Its Latin name is a euonymus, and it is too late to do any trimming on that now. Wait until the spring, and then you can trim it back. And then I would definitely go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and that will give you some tips whether you want to prune it back really hard or whether you just need a tip pruning for what you're going to do, depending upon how big it is. But, yep, burning bush, all your shrubs, you don't want to be trimming them now. Wait till spring, except for the ones that bloom in the spring. Don't trim those in the spring.
All right, very good. Thanks for the call. Texter says this, Teresa, is a trumpet vine going to take over my garden? That's the first question. But secondly,
yes,
can the dry seed pod of a trumpet vine be planted to start a new plant?
Yes to both of those questions. The trumpet vine is a very vigorous plant, so it will become very aggressive. It needs a big, huge structure to climb on, so not a little wimpy trellis. It needs something strong because it's going to be a big vine. And yes, you can take those seed pods and plant them out. It'll also sucker out for you, too.
All right. Good morning. This listener says, I have an old maple tree in the yard that has raised the ground around the base of the tree, the roots. I'm wondering, or they are, if they could put a frame box around the tree and then put soil in it to make a little flower garden, or will this be deadly for the tree?
That's not the best thing for your maple tree. Maple tree roots like to be right up at the surface, so what I would suggest instead is consider doing a larger garden under the tree and then planting right at the soil level between the tree roots. You can dig a hole, add some compost and put a garden under the tree, and then planting right at the soil level between the tree roots. You can dig a hole, add some compost and plant each plant there. I'd probably put a drip irrigation system in or a soaker hose because the maple tree is going to suck a lot of the nutrition and a lot of the water out of the soil. But you want to give those plants a little fighting chance to get established under your maple tree. So put some shade plants in there, but don't build the box and don't raise the soil level over the roots. The tree roots could be damaged, or they could just come right back up to the top and you're at the same thing, at the same problem that you had before.
I think that's a similar rule of thumb that you and your colleagues have said about mulch. Mm-hmm. In fact, talking to my friend Ben at B&M Tree Service, you don't want to load that mulch, in this case it was an oak tree, way up there. I mean, you don't want to do that either.
Yep. No mulch over, just an inch or two of mulch you can put on top of tree roots if you need to, and give it a good 5 or 6 inches away from the trunk of the tree so you have like a bare soil right by the trunk of the tree so no mulch touches the trunk of the tree if you have to put mulch down. But the mulch is good to keep your lawnmower away from the tree so you aren't hitting the tree with the lawnmower.
Teresa, this listener says, why did my fall planting of radishes only produce a long, stringy root with no bulb?
It could be that the soil was just too rich for it. The radishes need lower nitrogen in the soil, so you probably had some great leaves. The leaves would be a wonderful salad, but it just didn't have time. It just didn't have the energy to bulb out. It was just growing. It had high nitrogen, so it was just growing leaves instead. Or it could have been too hot. If it's too warm, because we haven't really been very chilly lately for radishes, they would like it a little cooler. So it could be that it was just too hot for the radish to bulb out also.
Okay. We need to take a quick break. Okay. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. We, as you know, tend to get real busy here on our Smart Garden Show. So call Teresa or text Teresa. Either way, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Smart Garden around every Saturday here on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls or text messages with those lawn and garden type of questions. And we have a bunch, Teresa, as usual. In fact, let's grab a phone call from Bill calling in from Waverly, Minnesota this morning. Thank you, Bill. What is your question?
Some giant cantaloupes from a friend of mine. What's the best
Oh, you're breaking up. Why don't you try to move that phone around? There you go.
Yep. I got some canna roots, and I was wondering, I got them in the basement in a box. There'd be a different way to store them.
They do need to become dormant, and it's a good thing you have them in the house. I would go to the extension page, extension.umn.edu. They need to be held at a certain temperature, so it needs to be a cooler basement. And then I would just check on them during the winter to make sure they haven't shriveled too much, that they look really dry. If they look really super dry, give them a little squirt with some water, a light spray of water. If they look moldy, pull out the ones that are moldy. If you can, get rid of the moldy ones and keep the other ones nice and safe. They like a cooler temperature, though, in your basement. So not a finished basement. They need a cooler basement. Good luck with that, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, when can I trim my maple tree?
Your maple tree, it's not the best time to be trimming anything right now. The plants should be going into dormancy, and they would break, they would stop that going into dormancy if you start pruning them. So either wait till the ground is fully frozen or trim them again in late winter, early spring before the sap rises. Otherwise, you could have trimmed them any time up until August 1st in the summertime. But I wouldn't prune anything right now unless you absolutely have to. If something's dead, you can prune that out. That's just fine.
That was going to be the next question from another listener about an ash tree with dead branches. Is it okay to trim the dead branches? And you said
yes. It is okay to trim the dead branches. You want to get those out of there because in high winds, like we're going to get high winds later today perhaps, those branches could break off and damage live branches. So you want to get the dead stuff out of there. Plus, you just don't want it falling on you or your head or the car or the children or the pets.
Yeah. This listener just discovered Creeping Charlie. they say, do you recommend digging it out? If so, how far deep should I dig?
It's not a deeply rooted plant, so you can just gently pull it out. You'll get most of it. Anything that is left in there that breaks off can grow again. By digging, there's possibly a lot of seeds in the soil, Creeping Charlie seeds, that you would be bringing up to the surface again. So I would just try to pull it out as much as you possibly can. Maybe gently rake the area and then figure out what are you going to plant in there instead. If it's just a blank area, Creeping Charlie will probably come right back in again. So you've got to do something. What are you going to plant in there instead? Why is it there instead of something else?
Okay, boy, they're coming in by leaps and
bounds.
All right. How does one get rid of sumac is the next question.
You know, you can pull that and just cut that out, chop it to the ground if you want to. It is rhizomatous, so it does spread by rhizomes. So just pull it out or dig it out. You can also use a broadleaf weed killer on it if you must. Usually just physically removing it is the easiest way. And again, there's seeds in the soil that you're going to be bringing to the top. So it's something that you'll have to look at throughout the growing seasons for a year or two to make sure you've got everything.
All right. This listener says, my raspberry canes are huge. Should I cut them back?
I would definitely figure out what kind of raspberries you have, whether they're the spring or the summer bloomers or whether they're the fall bloomers, how they bloom for you or if they're what kind of blooming. And then go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. They have a really good page on raspberries, and it'll give you when you prune, how far back you prune. And you want to wind up with about six primal canes in each clump, and then they are heavy feeders too. So that'll give you a good idea about when to prune it, depending upon how they fruit for you, whether it's the spring or the early summer or the fall bloomers.
All right, let's see. Here's another one. We have, texter says, a 300-square-foot area of lawn that was covered with weeds. So this summer, we covered the area with tarps and would like to reseed this fall. What should we do to prepare the soil?
Definitely go to extension.umn.edu and look at how to get your lawn ready for that. I would pull the tarp back to see if you did kill all the weeds. It's a little late to do some seeding now, but now would be a good time to do it, or wait till dormant seeding. and then dormant seed at that time. If you can, remove any broadleaf weeds that are still there. Pull those out by hand, and then top dress with a little compost. Mix it in a little bit with the soil, and then do your dormant seeding or seed right away with grass seed. And hopefully you have a good time for that grass seed to come up. Make sure that you're purchasing the grass seed that's good for that conditions, whether it's sunny or shady or salty or whatever, high traffic, you get the right grass seed. If you're going to sod, you can still resod. Otherwise, or wait till the spring to resod that area.
Okay. Listener says this via text. My backyard maple tree is dying slowly from a probable fungus. I have a new young maple tree I'd like to plant nearby. Is this a bad idea? Will the fungus spread? Would it be best to wait until we take the other tree down before planting the new one?
I can't imagine what fungus it's dying from. If it's like anthracnose or something like that, that's in the soil, and that will infect the other tree also. So I would probably have a certified arborist look at your tree and look on site and discuss the situation with you. Whether the tree is planted too deeply, that's something you can change right away. I don't know what fungus an apple tree would be, or I'm sorry, a maple tree would be dying from. So I would get a certified arborist out there to look at it for you and talk you through your options.
You know, I think it'd be great to do this weekend or this coming week is head to the Arboretum.
Oh, my gosh. It's got to be beautiful out there. And you can look at scarecrows and pumpkins. And then when you're all done, you could go to the Apple House and get some apples and squashes and pumpkins and just enjoy the bounty of the season. But, oh, yes, get out to the Arboretum. You do need to get a ticket. So you do need to have a reservation first at whatever time you're going for. But, oh, it's beautiful with all the leaves and the prairies in bloom. And, yes, go out to the Arboretum.
Yeah,
it's
easy to do. You have to, as Teresa was alluding to, you have to reserve it online, a time online. But it really helps.
It helps with
you
parking.
You think it might be a bother, but it really helps, especially with parking. You zip right in there. And it helps
keep you on task so you know when you have to get there.
Yes.
If you have those kind of issues and those problems, okay, I have to be there then.
But you mentioned the Apple House, too, because they've expanded that whole area too. So that's another fun weekend trip.
Yes.
Head to the Arboretum, then the Apple House.
Yep.
We need
bring
to take a
camera,
break for weather.
Bring your family.
Absolutely. We'll have a look at that forecast straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this edition of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning answering those lawn and garden questions for you, either by phone or by text. If you want to call in, great. Love to hear your voice. Otherwise, send a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We said it at the top of the show. If you want to get some good reading in, great information, extension.umn.edu. A great website, extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab there, and you're going to get all sorts of information. You can ask a master gardener like you, right?
Exactly. You can find Ask a Master Gardener right on that page.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Very good. Good morning. This texter says, I have some begonias in pots that are still blooming. What should I do with them?
I would start to think, do I want to bring them in the house? Do I want to save them? Or are they going to go to the compost bin? If you're going to bring them in the house, make sure you wash the pots really well. Give the plant a good shower. Clean the pots and all the saucers and even the top of the soil. Try to get any leaves and stuff off of that. Bring the plant into the house. Keep it away from your other house plants if you have them for about 2 to 3 weeks just to make sure it's not bringing in any creepy crawlies for you. And then if everything looks good, you can put it in the house. But a lot of those begonias are really great in the house as house plants. And you can enjoy them all winter, and they can use them again in the spring next year.
Very good. A lawn question. Texter says, can I cut my grass one more time, and will it help or hurt? It's a great show. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's something, I don't know. I'll be doing it at least one more time.
I think everybody will. The grass loves this cool season. Our lawns are usually cool season grasses, so they're really happy in this kind of weather with cooler nights and cool sunny days. And they love this season. So, yes, you do have to keep cutting your grass. You know, you can let it grow up to 4 inches, cut it back down to 3. Just keep it at about that level. And, again, just before we get that snow that's going to stay on, make sure you've cut the grass and you've removed most of the leaves. If you don't want a lawn next year, you don't have to worry about that. You can just let the leaves pile up, and that'll smother a lot of the grass, and it'll save you a lot of work in the spring creating new garden beds.
But the answer, yes.
Yes, you can certainly mow the lawn. Keep mowing. Keep mowing. Yeah. And if it's dry, keep watering. It's not dry right now, but if your area is dry, make sure you do give it a good drink of water. And if you're going to fertilize, a winterizer is what you would use at this time of year.
All right, this texter says, you're going to help me with this one, a Siberian dogwood Baton Rouge that has doubled in size this past year, 6 feet diameter by 6'8" high. Wow. Do I prune this large bush? If so, when and how much?
So if it's only been in there a few years, yes, you can prune it if it has. I'm not familiar with that one in particular, but if it has bright colored stems, you could cut some of those stems off and use them in your pots. If you do spruce tips in your pots or winter pots, if you have any of that. Otherwise, go ahead and cut it back in the spring. You can cut it back as far as you want. Lots of times the dogwoods, you can cut those right back down to the ground, or you can just take out the oldest, biggest, thickest, tallest stems, cut those down, and then it'll sucker and send up new growth for you every year, so it'll be a nice, healthy new plant. Do that in the spring or late winter.
Teresa, a couple of the same questions. Is now the time to dig up my canna lily bulbs? Thank you. Love the show. My cannas are in full bloom still. Can I wait to dig up the bulbs?
Oh, no. If you want to leave them a little bit longer, because we're not supposed to get frost in this area, it depends on your area. Once the above ground has been killed by a frost, go ahead and dig those cannas up. You don't want them to sit in the frozen ground. They can't make it through winter. So you have to kind of do that little dance right there, like, how long do I want to leave the flowers up? And then once they're killed by frost, go ahead and dig them up and just store them. And then again, go to the extension page, extension.umn.edu, for specifics on different kinds of bulbs that you may be saving. Dahlias need something different than your cannas, than maybe your other bulbs your glads might need. So you just need to be a little cognizant of which bulbs you're saving over winter.
Okay. Good morning. Texture says, is it too late to transplant some flowers, or should I wait until spring? Thank you. Love the show. Well, thank you.
Thank you. We love you, having you here. It's too late if you don't have to. If you have to move them because there's going to be construction, or for some other reason you have to move them, go ahead and dig them up, disturb them as little as possible, have the holes already dug, and then put them in the soil, water them in really well, and then mulch them. If you don't have to dig them up, wait until spring. You want to move most plants the season that's opposite to their blooming. So if it's something that blooms in early spring, you'd want to move that in, say, August or September. If it blooms midsummer to late summer, you can move those in early spring as soon as you can get into the ground and work it.
Okay. Another listener says, can I cut back my mock orange bush now for new growth in the spring?
Okay, you can, but you shouldn't. We don't want to do any pruning right now on our plants because they want to be thinking about going to dormancy. So you don't want to confuse them. They should be thinking about not growing new growth and just adding photosynthesizing like little mad things and plumping up those roots so they're nice and healthy in the spring. Your mock orange blooms early in the spring, and just like your mock oranges, your azaleas, your magnolias, your lilacs, all of those already have their flower buds on them. So if you cut them in late winter because they've gotten too big, everything you're cutting off is the flowers, so you're really losing a lot of flowers. If that's not a problem, go ahead and cut it in early spring. Otherwise, I would wait till it blooms and then prune it right after blooming.
Okay. This listener has a maple tree that has bark split open on the trunk on a couple of places in quite large openings. The question is, what is the danger and what to do? Also, half the tree had the leaves turned red quite some time ago, while the other half is turning red now. This has never happened before.
It sounds like your tree is very stressed. It could have gotten a bark split from damage, frost crack. I would have an arborist look at the tree, especially if it's a good big tree in your landscape and it's important to you. I'd have a certified arborist come out and look at the tree. Trees turning red or turning fall color early is a stressor. The tree just is going into dormancy early, especially if half of it is dormant. I would also have, when you do have the arborist come out, have them look if you have girdling roots on your maples. Maples are notorious for girdling roots, and half a tree being stressed like that tells me there's a good chance there's girdling roots there, and this is where the roots of the tree are actually strangling the trunk, so the trunk is not being able to access the nutrition from the roots, and the roots can't access nutrition from the leaves up above. That communication is getting lost there. So I would definitely have an arborist come out and look at your tree. They'll assess it on site, and they'll tell you what to do with those cracks. There's nothing you really can do, but they'd give you a good idea of if it's a damaged tree, if it's a dangerous tree, or if it's just something that you can correct by pulling the soil back from the girdling roots and cutting those roots, and what you can do to protect the tree, or if it has to come down because it's dangerous. Good luck with that.
Okay. This listener had to replace arborvitae because of the deer eating the plants. What's the process to cover with burlap, and what type of burlap do we need?
I probably would maybe, if you can, maybe not use a burlap. If you're going to use a burlap, wrap it very loosely and just use a natural one, not a synthetic burlap. Wrap it loosely. You still want the tree to be able to breathe and get some light in it during the wintertime. Otherwise, a fence, a deer fence outside of the arborvitae will be really good. And I would also think about if it has multiple leaders inside and you're not going to lightly wrap it, I would then take a pantyhose and tie those leaders up gently so that in the heavy March snows it doesn't bend over and look weird and funky like a Dr. Seuss tree. Those are some of the options that I would think of. So because you want your evergreen to be green in the winter, that's probably why you've planted it, and covering it up with brown burlap kind of defeats the purpose of having a green evergreen. But wrap it lightly with natural burlap if that's the route you go on. Good luck with that.
Another tester says, is it too late to dig out an English yew and replace it? It's right next to the foundation.
If you're just going to dig it out this winter and replace it in the spring, that's fine. It's way too late to replace it with an evergreen now. The evergreens need 8 weeks to get adjusted to their new homes, and we do not have 8 weeks until the ground freezes. It's going to freeze way before then, so you don't have time to get your evergreen in. You do have time to remove it if you want to. What I'd probably do, if possible, I would just cut it to the ground and not disturb any of the soil. And then just plant your new plant in the spring, pull it out a little bit from the foundation, and just plant a little further away, maybe 3 or 4 feet away from the foundation, and let the plant have a lot of air circulation. When you disturb soil right by the foundation, that can cause water issues. So you want to disturb and dig in that soil as little as possible.
That's a good question. Which perennials do the birds like in the winter?
Oh, anything that has seed heads on it. So when you're seeing the monardas and the asters and all those other big seed heads out there, those are the ones that get the birds really happy because they're seeds. Also, when you leave them standing up, they can hide among some of the stems if a hawk's coming by. And all that stuff left up allows bees to get in there, native bees, and they can then lay their eggs, and you just protect the butterflies and everything else. So if you can leave those things standing up, anything with a seed head will make the birds nice and happy. So sometimes even your annuals, if you leave those up and they have seed heads on them, can also go to the Extension website, and they'll give you some great ideas for feeding the birds.
Yeah, do that, extension.umn.edu. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We have a few minutes left, of course, in the show, our Smart Garden show. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Now, there's just a reminder that coming along in the 9 o'clock hour, right after the news break, Andy Lindis will be joining us. So if you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd be glad to field those for you as well. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those particular questions this morning. Here's another one for you, Teresa. We're going to try to get in as many. We might even be able to get them all in.
Cool.
If we do kind of a lightning round. What is the best time to trim the flowers off from my hydrangea bushes?
You can trim those whenever you want to trim those off. If you want to remove some so they don't drag down during the winter, the heavy snows, that's fine. So as soon as they start to dry up and look yucky or you don't like that look, go ahead and trim them off.
People are in a trimming mood this morning,
Everybody is in the fall, and it's like, it's not the best time to do it, but...
Well, here's another one yet. Is it too early to cut down my native grasses? I don't want to wait until spring.
Normally, we leave our grasses up all winter. That's for winter interest. It also allows the pollinators and the birds to enjoy the activities. That's why you plant the grasses. If you can, leave them up all winter. If you must cut them down, wait until the ground has frozen and then cut them back as far as you need to. But I would suggest leaving them up for the seed heads in the winter interest.
Here's yet another one. Should sedum be cut back?
I would, again, leave that up all winter. It's great for winter interest. You don't need to. If you have to cut anything back for any reason, if you're just one of those gardeners who like it really tidy, wait until the ground is frozen solid. Then you can cut your plants back.
Okay.
Your perennial.
This listener says, I have a viburnum competing for space with my witch hazel. I want the witch hazel to win. How far back can I cut that viburnum next early spring?
You know, you can cut most of those back pretty far. It's going to kind of look kind of lopsided, though. They normally can get along together. They'll just grow together into like a shrub, a big shrub. However, you can trim that viburnum back quite a bit. It's going to look a little lopsided, and then just let the hydrangea take over. If you're really just don't want the viburnum, just take it to the ground, and if it comes back, just keep it really small. Otherwise, you can just remove it totally and enjoy just the witch hazel. But together they would be beautiful, and your witch hazel should be blooming now.
Another viburnum question. Can I split viburnum?
Oh, it really depends on how, if it's suckering nicely, and then you can split it. You'd have to see what the root structure is, and if it's got a lot of suckers, you can probably take half of it or a quarter of it out in the spring and then move that away from it.
Why are the leaves on my houseplants so sticky?
Oh, dear. There's an insect on there, so I would start looking, and the Extension website has really good information about insects, houseplants, insects on houseplants, and thinking you might have something like spider mites or mealybugs on there, so I would do some investigation there. What you're seeing is the insects are sucking the juices out of the plant, and then they're it's all the sugars they're taking out, and then they're kind of just peeing, or that's called honeydew, and that comes out and that gets on the leaves and looks sticky. So that's a good indicator that there's some kind of insect on there. So do some digging, do some careful looking at the plant and all the little leaf axils and everything, and see if you can see any insects on there, and then go to the Extension website, identify it, and give you treatment options.
Another begonia question. Can you winter begonias?
Yes, treat them as a houseplant. That's absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm.
This listener has a 12-foot by 2-foot area of Scottish moss. White clover has taken over 50% of it. When they weeded out the white clover, they got a dead patch of dirt. Is there any way to recover my Scottish moss from the white clover?
Sure. There's some options. I would go to the Extension website. It entails taking some of the Scotch moss and throwing it in a blender that you're probably never going to use again for your smoothies, and then with some milk or buttermilk, and making a slurry, and then spread that on the ground and keeping it damp and moist until that Scotch moss comes out there. But that's something you can do. I'd go to the Extension website for that.
extension.umn.edu.
edu. Thank you.
Yes.
I finished it in my brain, but it didn't come out my mouth. Thank you, Denny.
No problem. Can Swedish and German ivy be brought in for the winter?
Oh, definitely bring those in for the as a house plant. Again, all those plants you're bringing in, make sure you give them a good shower. Make sure you wash the pots and the saucers really well so you don't bring in any hitchhikers. Clean up the soil top so there's no sticks and leaves on there that could have hitchhikers on them. Bring them into the house. Keep them segregated from your other plants for, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks, just to make sure you didn't bring in any little creepy crawlies, and then put them with your other house plants in according to which light situation those new coming plants need. Good luck with that.
Okay. Last Christmas, Texter received an arrangement with 3 to 4 plants in. The evergreen, they think a cypress, has been outside all summer and now 4 feet tall. Will it be okay outside over winter?
No.
No.
It's an annual for us. You would need to bring that in, or you just say thank you very much and maybe decorate it for the holidays. It'll kind of brown up and just be a structure, and then you can send it to the compost pile in the spring or toss it in the compost pile now if you don't want to bring it inside.
This listener may be a candidate to head to the Apple House. They say one of my favorite apples was the Regent. Stores don't have this variety. Where can I find this variety?
Look at your farmers markets if you have farmers markets. Become a friend to your local apple person. I have a special apple person I talk to at my farmers markets. Otherwise, then do head out to the Apple House at the Arboretum or just past the Arboretum and enjoy it. Regent is a great apple.
Okay. You go for an apple right now. Say we had.
That'd be good. Crunch, crunch.
Yeah. Breakfast. Keeps the doctors away. Say
it
we
does.
Had a large area of black eyes, Susan's texter says, that had seed heads left on them. A few weeks ago, all the heads have been cut or eaten off. We have a fenced-in yard, and the flower stems are 3 feet high. Could squirrels have done that damage?
Squirrels, definitely, or chipmunks, yep. I have a friend who her garden has been decimated by bunnies and squirrel this year, and she has pots up by the house, and they have just been eating everything like little maniacs. So I don't know if the population's really big or if they're expecting a bad winter, but they're really plumping up on all of our stuff.
Okay. Any recommendation, listener says, to cut back an old, a 45-year-plus Concord grapevine that still produces lots of grapes?
I would go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. I don't want to give you the wrong timing for the grapevines because they do need to be cut back hard, and then you put them on their cordons and you grow it out that way. And I'm not a grape growing expert, and I'm not going to damage your 45-year-old grapevines. So do go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. It'll talk you right through how to trim back a grapevine for northern climates.
Good morning, Texter says. First time Texter, welcome to the show. Is this the time to seed for wildflowers or wait for a couple more weeks? Instructions say to plant late fall or spring.
I would wait a little while, and thanks for sending in your text for the first time. I'd wait a little while. Consider that just like dormant seeding. So we may not have that information on the extension website, but look at dormant seeding for grasses. I'd also consider taking some of those wildflower mixes and doing something called winter sowing with them, and that's where you actually plant them in a milk jug in January, February, and you move that milk jug outside. And there's information on the internet about how to do that. It's called winter sowing. A lot of our native plants need to go through stratification, or they need to be out there in the winter cold and feel the freeze and the thaw and the freeze and the thaw to break those seed coats and wake them up in the spring. So I would get them in the ground either as dormant seeding or do a winter sowing and then plant those little plantlets on again in the spring.
Well, guess what, Teresa?
We're over. Oh, no.
Yes, we're completely out of time. Quickly, let's tell folks to really check out the university website. We say that a lot, but we really mean it. You're going to love
do.
It if you haven't done so. Extension.umn.edu. And what about the Arboretum?
And go to the Arboretum. It's wonderful and beautiful. And buy some apples and some squashes and pumpkins out at the Apple House.
Yeah, the Apple House not far from the Arboretum. You can, two birds with one stone, as we say.
Exactly.
All right, Teresa, thanks so much.
Thanks,
always
Denny.
Fun. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks for sure.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Very good. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener here on CCO. Now, Coming up right after the CCU News Break, CBS, and our local news with Al, we will be answering any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction will be stopping by as usual to answer those very questions. So keep those in mind. 651-461-9226 as we head to the news here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to our Smart Garden Show. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. It's so wonderful to be here with you.
Oh, it's always fun to have you on the air, along with your colleagues, Mary and Julie. I wanted to. We always like to talk, for good reason, about the University of Minnesota website, the Extension website. And just to prove I practice what I preach, I was looking for shrubs that can deal with shade, and I came upon that very subject matter, thanks to our friend Julie Weisenhorn. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing the information you can find. We'll talk more about that website, but for those that have not checked it out, if you love gardening, even if you're beginning, and you just kind of want to jump in with both feet and just try your hand or your green thumb, extension.umn.edu. It's really worth checking out. I just
had to
say that to begin because
it's amazing.
I was using it.
Denny, did you see that they have climate-ready trees or for our changing climate? They've now got a whole area for trees and shrubs, and you can choose what part of the state you live in, and they'll give you some suggestions for the trees that will handle that should handle the upcoming changes.
Isn't that great?
So it's for woodlands, but you could do that in your city and your town, and just start creating that change. Put those trees in, that'll do better, and that's easier on you and better on the trees.
Yeah, more specific information. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Teresa is here to help you out to answer any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. Let me give you the number, and it's good for either a phone call. We'd love to hear your voice, or you can just send Teresa your text like a lot of folks are already doing. Either way, here's the number, 651-461-9226. Here's one for you, Teresa. First one came in. I've had my amaryllis indoors in a bright sunny light all summer. I'm going to put it away in a dark room, and I'm wondering if I should give it a drink of water before I do that, and how long do I keep it in the dark before I bring it back out again?
That's an excellent question. I definitely would give it a little drink of water before you put it away, and then I'd head to the extension page, extension.umn.edu, and they'll talk you through all the steps that you need to take, how to figure out when to bring it out of dormancy so that you can time the bloom, whether it's for your December holidays, your January, your February holidays, whatever holiday you're trying to aim for. It'll give you that idea when to start bringing it out back into the light and watering it well.
I know we will be getting some questions or comments about dormant seeding our lawns,
mm-hmm.
and we are coming up to that time. I'm hearing some weather folks saying it won't be long now. In a matter of days, we could be seeing snow. We could be seeing frost. We know it's going to happen here in the next few weeks or so, maybe sooner. And that's when you do start to consider dormant seeding. Am I right?
Right. You want to do it just as the ground is starting to freeze. It hasn't frozen all the way yet, but we're also starting to get those snows that are staying. So you've got to get the seeds in there while the ground's still not quite frozen, so you can pat the seeds down and have really good seed-to-soil contact, but then the snow will cover it up. So then it just has that little blanket of snow over the top, and then it can just sit there all winter and wait to grow for you.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear more during this hour. Let's see. There's more coming in here. A friend, the texter says, is thinning her raspberry patch and offering us plants. Is it possible to transplant raspberries this time of year?
It is possible. It's not the best time, but if this is when you've got them, dig them up, get them in the ground as quickly as possible. They like a nice, rich organic soil with full sun. and then just water them in really well, and then give them a nice layer of mulch, maybe 1 or 2 inches. And then as the ground starts to cool down in a week or so, you can add some more mulch on top of that. That's going to give them a little more of a winter mulch. And then as the ground freezes, mulch them nicely and do protect them from rabbits, because rabbits and deer will love them all winter long.
Yeah, for sure. 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us this Saturday morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those lawn and garden questions for you. Let's grab a phone call. Dorothy is checking in this morning from Minneapolis, I do believe. Dorothy, thank you. What is your question, Dorothy, for Teresa?
Good morning. I have a burning bush shrub, and I know it has another official name, but I can't think of that. Anyway, it's overgrown, and I'm wondering, is it too late to trim it back now?
Dorothy, that's a really question, and that's a really good question. Its Latin name is a euonymus, and it is too late to do any trimming on that now. Wait until the spring, and then you can trim it back. And then I would definitely go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and that will give you some tips whether you want to prune it back really hard or whether you just need a tip pruning for what you're going to do, depending upon how big it is. But, yep, burning bush, all your shrubs, you don't want to be trimming them now. Wait till spring, except for the ones that bloom in the spring. Don't trim those in the spring.
All right, very good. Thanks for the call. Texter says this, Teresa, is a trumpet vine going to take over my garden? That's the first question. But secondly,
yes,
can the dry seed pod of a trumpet vine be planted to start a new plant?
Yes to both of those questions. The trumpet vine is a very vigorous plant, so it will become very aggressive. It needs a big, huge structure to climb on, so not a little wimpy trellis. It needs something strong because it's going to be a big vine. And yes, you can take those seed pods and plant them out. It'll also sucker out for you, too.
All right. Good morning. This listener says, I have an old maple tree in the yard that has raised the ground around the base of the tree, the roots. I'm wondering, or they are, if they could put a frame box around the tree and then put soil in it to make a little flower garden, or will this be deadly for the tree?
That's not the best thing for your maple tree. Maple tree roots like to be right up at the surface. So what I would suggest instead is consider doing a larger garden under the tree and then planting right at the soil level between the tree roots. You can dig a hole, add some compost and garden under the tree, and then planting right at the soil level between the tree roots. You can dig a hole, add some compost, and plant each plant there. I'd probably put a drip irrigation system in or a soaker hose because the maple tree is going to suck a lot of the nutrition and a lot of the water out of the soil. But you want to give those plants a little fighting chance to get established under your maple tree. So put some shade plants in there, but don't build the box and don't raise the soil level over the roots. The tree roots could be damaged, or they could just come right back up to the top and you're at the same thing, at the same problem that you had before.
I think that's a similar rule of thumb that you and your colleagues have said about mulch. Mm-hmm. In fact, talking to my friend Ben at B&M Tree Service, you don't want to load that mulch, in this case it was an oak tree, mm-hmm. Way up there. I mean,
right.
You don't want to do that either.
Yep. No mulch over, just an inch or two of mulch you can put on top of tree roots if you need to, and give it a good 5 or 6 inches away from the trunk of the tree, so you have like a bare soil right by the trunk of the tree, so no mulch touches the trunk of the tree if you have to put mulch down. But the mulch is good to keep your lawnmower away from the tree so you aren't hitting the tree with the lawnmower.
Teresa, this listener says, why did my fall planting of radishes only produce a long, stringy root with no bulb?
It could be that the soil was just too rich for it. The radishes need lower nitrogen in the soil. So you probably had some great leaves. The leaves would be a wonderful salad, but it just didn't have time. It just didn't have the energy to bulb out. It was just growing. It had high nitrogen, so it was just growing leaves instead. Or it could have been too hot. If it's too warm, because we haven't really been very chilly lately for radishes, they would like it a little cooler. So it could be that it was just too hot for the radish to bulb out also.
Okay. We need to take a quick break. Okay. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. We, as you know, tend to get real busy here on our Smart Garden Show. So call Teresa or text Teresa. Either way, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Smart Garden around every Saturday here on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls or text messages with those lawn and garden type of questions. And we have a bunch, Teresa, as usual. In fact, let's grab a phone call from Bill calling in from Waverly, Minnesota this morning. Thank you, Bill. What is your question?
From a friend of mine, what's the best?
Oh, you're breaking up. Why don't you try to move that phone around? There you go.
Yep. I got some canna roots, and I was wondering, I got them in the basement in a box. There'd be a different way to store them.
They do need to become dormant, and it's a good thing you have them in the house. I would go to the extension page, extension.umn.edu. They need to be held at a certain temperature, so it needs to be a cooler basement. And then I would just check on them during the winter to make sure they haven't shriveled too much, that they look really dry. If they look really super dry, give them a little squirt with some water, a light spray of water. If they look moldy, pull out the ones that are moldy. If you can, get rid of the moldy ones and keep the other ones nice and safe. They like a cooler temperature, though, in your basement. So not a finished basement. They need a cooler basement. Good luck with that, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Again, 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, when can I trim my maple tree?
Your maple tree, it's not the best time to be trimming anything right now. The plants should be going into dormancy, and they would break, they would stop that going into dormancy if you start pruning them. So either wait till the ground is fully frozen or trim them again in late winter, early spring before the sap rises. Otherwise, you could have trimmed them any time up until August 1st in the summertime, but I wouldn't prune anything right now unless you absolutely have to. If something's dead, you can prune that out. That's just fine.
That was going to be the next question from another listener about an ash tree with dead branches. Is it okay to trim the dead branches? And you said
yes. It is okay to trim the dead branches. You want to get those out of there because in high winds, like we're going to get high winds later today perhaps, those branches could break off and damage live branches. So you want to get the dead stuff out of there. Plus, you just don't want it falling on you or your head or the car or the children or the pets.
Yeah. This listener just discovered Creeping Charlie. they say, do you recommend digging it out? If so, how far deep should I dig?
It's not a deeply rooted plant, so you can just gently pull it out. You'll get most of it. Anything that is left in there that breaks off can grow again. By digging, there's possibly a lot of seeds in the soil, Creeping Charlie seeds, that you would be bringing up to the surface again. So I would just try to pull it out as much as you possibly can. Maybe gently rake the area, and then figure out what are you going to plant in there instead. If it's just a blank area, Creeping Charlie will probably come right back in again. So you've got to do something. What are you going to plant in there instead? Why is it there instead of something else?
Okay, boy, they're coming in by leaps and
bounds.
All right. How does one get rid of sumac is the next question.
You can pull that and just cut that out, chop it to the ground if you want to. It is rhizomatous, so it does spread by rhizomes. So just pull it out or dig it out. You can also use a broadleaf weed killer on it if you must. Usually just physically removing it is the easiest way. And again, there's seeds in the soil that you're going to be bringing to the top. So it's something that you'll have to look at throughout the growing seasons for a year or two to make sure you've got everything.
All right. This listener says, my raspberry canes are huge. Should I cut them back?
I would definitely figure out what kind of raspberries you have, whether they're the spring or the summer bloomers or whether they're the fall bloomers, how they bloom for you or if they're what kind of blooming. And then go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. They have a really good page on raspberries, and it'll give you when you prune, how far back you prune, and you want to wind up with about six primal canes in each clump, and then they are heavy feeders too. So that'll give you a good idea about when to prune it, depending upon how they fruit for you, whether it's the spring or the early summer or the fall bloomers.
All right, let's see. Here's another one. We have, a texter says, a 300-square-foot area of lawn that was covered with weeds. So this summer, we covered the area with tarps and would like to reseed this fall. What should we do to prepare the soil?
Definitely go to extension.umn.edu and look at how to get your lawn ready for that. I would pull the tarp back to see if you did kill all the weeds. It's a little late to do some seeding now, but now would be a good time to do it, or wait till dormant seeding and then dormant seed at that time. If you can, remove any broadleaf weeds that are still there. Pull those out by hand and then top dress with a little compost. Mix it in a little bit with the soil and then do your dormant seeding or seed right away with grass seed, and hopefully you have a good time for that grass seed to come up. Make sure that you're purchasing the grass seed that's good for that conditions, whether it's sunny or shady or salty or whatever, high traffic. You get the right grass seed. If you're going to sod, you can still resod, otherwise, or wait till the spring to resod that area.
Okay. Listener says this via text: my backyard maple tree is dying slowly from a probable fungus. I have a new young maple tree I'd like to plant nearby. Is this a bad idea? Will the fungus spread? Would it be best to wait until we take the other tree down before planting the new one?
I can't imagine what fungus it's dying from. If it's like anthracnose or something like that, that's in the soil, and that will infect the other tree also. So I would probably have a certified arborist look at your tree and look on site and discuss the situation with you. Whether the tree is planted too deeply, that's something you can change right away. I don't know what fungus a maple tree would be dying from. So I would get a certified arborist out there to look at it for you and talk you through your options.
You know, I think it'd be great to do this weekend or this coming week is head to the Arboretum.
Oh, boy, my gosh, beautiful. It's got to be beautiful out there. And you can look at scarecrows and pumpkins. And then when you're all done, you could go to the Apple House and get some apples and squashes and pumpkins and just enjoy the bounty of the season. But, oh, yes, get out to the Arboretum. You do need to get a ticket, so you do need to have a reservation first at whatever time you're going for. But, oh, it's beautiful with all the leaves and the prairies in bloom. And, yes, go out to the Arboretum.
Yeah,
it's
easy to do. You have to, as Teresa was alluding to, you have to reserve it online, a time online. But it really helps.
It helps with parking.
You think it might be a bother, but yeah, it really helps, especially with parking. You zip right in there. And it
helps keep you on task so you know when you have to get there.
Yes.
If you have those kind of issues and those problems, okay, I have to be there then.
But you mentioned the Apple House, too, because they've expanded that whole area, mm-hmm, area there, too. So that's another fun weekend trip.
Yes.
Head to the Arboretum, then the Apple House.
Yep. We need to take a break for weather. Bring your family.
Absolutely. We'll have a look at that forecast straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this edition of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning, answering those lawn and garden questions for you, either by phone or by text. If you want to call in, great. Love to hear your voice. Otherwise, send a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We said it at the top of the show. If you want to get some good reading in, great information, extension.umn.edu. A great website, extension.umn.edu. Yeah, click on the garden tab there, and you're going to get all sorts of information. You can ask a master gardener like you, right?
Exactly. You can find Ask a Master Gardener right on that page.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, this texter says. I have some begonias in pots that are still blooming. What should I do with them?
I would start to think, do I want to bring them in the house? Do I want to save them, or are they going to go to the compost bin? If you're going to bring them in the house, make sure you wash the pots really well. Give the plant a good shower, clean the pots and all the saucers and even the top of the soil. Try to get any leaves and stuff off of that. bring the plant into the house, keep it away from your other house plants if you have them, for about 2 to 3 weeks just to make sure it's not bringing in any creepy crawlies for you. And then if everything looks good, you can put it in the house. But a lot of those begonias are really great in the house as house plants. And you can enjoy them all winter, and then you can use them again in the spring next year.
Very good. A lawn question. Texter says, can I cut my grass one more time, and will it help or hurt? It's a great show. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's something, well, yeah. I don't know. I'll be doing it at least one more time.
I think everybody will. The grass loves this cool season. Our lawns are usually cool season grasses, so they're really happy in this kind of weather with cooler nights and cool sunny days, and they love this season. So, yes, you do have to keep cutting your grass. You know, you can let it grow up to 4 inches, cut it back down to 3. Just keep it at about that level. And, again, just before we get that snow that's going to stay on, make sure you've cut the grass and you've removed most of the leaves. If you don't want a lawn next year, you don't have to worry about that. You can just let the leaves pile up, and that'll smother a lot of the grass, and it'll save you a lot of work in the spring creating new garden beds.
But the answer, yes.
Yes, you can certainly mow the lawn. Keep mowing. Yeah. And if it's dry, keep watering. It's not dry right now, but if your area is dry, make sure you do give it a good drink of water. And if you're going to fertilize, a winterizer is what you would use at this time of year.
All right, this texter says, you're going to have to help me with this one, a Siberian dogwood Baton Rouge that has doubled in size this past year, 6 feet diameter by 6'8" high. Wow. Do I prune this large bush? If so, when and how much?
So if it's only been in there a few years, yes, you can prune it if it has. I'm not familiar with that one in particular, but if it has bright colored stems, you could cut some of those stems off and use them in your pots if you do spruce tips in your pots or winter pots if you have any of that. Otherwise, go ahead and cut it back in the spring. You can cut it back as far as you want. Lots of times the dogwoods, you can cut those right back down to the ground, or you can just take out the oldest, biggest, thickest, tallest stems, cut those down, and then it'll sucker and send up new growth for you every year, so it'll be a nice, healthy new plant. Do that in the spring or late winter.
Teresa, a couple of the same questions. Is now the time to dig up my canna lily bulbs? Thank you. Love the show. My cannas are in full bloom still. Can I wait to dig up the bulbs?
Oh, no. If you want to leave them a little bit longer, because we're not supposed to get frost in this area, it depends on your area. Once the above ground has been killed by a frost, go ahead and dig those cannas up. You don't want them to sit in the frozen ground. They can't make it through winter. So you have to kind of do that little dance right there, like, how long do I want to leave the flowers up? And then once they're killed by frost, go ahead and dig them up and just store them. And then again, go to the extension page, extension.umn.edu, for specifics on different kinds of bulbs that you may be saving. Dahlias need something different than your cannas, than maybe your other bulbs your glads might need. So you just need to be a little cognizant of which bulbs you're saving over winter.
Okay. Good morning, texter says, is it too late to transplant some flowers, or should I wait until spring? Thank you. Love the show. Well, thank you.
Thank you. We love you, having you here. It's too late if you don't have to. If you have to move them because there's going to be construction, or for some other reason you have to move them, go ahead and dig them up, disturb them as little as possible, have the holes already dug, and then put them in the soil, water them in really well, and then mulch them. If you don't have to dig them up, wait until spring. You want to move most plants the season that's opposite to their blooming. So if it's something that blooms in early spring, you'd want to move that in, say, August or September. If it blooms midsummer to late summer, you can move those in early spring as soon as you can get into the ground and work it.
Okay. Another listener says, can I cut back my mock orange bush now for new growth in the spring?
Okay, you can, but you shouldn't. We don't want to do any pruning right now on our plants because they want to be thinking about going to dormancy. So you don't want to confuse them. They should be thinking about not growing new growth and just adding photosynthesizing like little mad things and plumping up those roots so they're nice and healthy in the spring. Your mock orange blooms early in the spring, and just like your mock oranges, your azaleas, your magnolias, your lilacs, all of those already have their flower buds on them. So if you cut them in late winter because they've gotten too big, everything you're cutting off is the flowers. So you're really losing a lot of flowers. If that's not a problem, go ahead and cut it in early spring. Otherwise, I would wait till it blooms and then prune it right after blooming.
Okay. This listener has a maple tree that has bark split open on the trunk on a couple of places in quite large openings. The question is, what is the danger and what to do? Also, half the tree had the leaves turned red quite some time ago, while the other half is turning red now. This has never happened before.
It sounds like your tree is very stressed. It could have gotten a bark split from damage, frost crack. I would have an arborist look at the tree, especially if it's a good big tree in your landscape and it's important to you. I'd have a certified arborist come out and look at the tree. Trees turning red or turning fall color early is a stressor. The tree just is going into dormancy early, especially if half of it is dormant. I would also have, when you do have the arborist come out, have them look if you have girdling roots on your maples. Maples are notorious for girdling roots, and half a tree being stressed like that tells me there's a good chance there's girdling roots there, and this is where the roots of the tree are actually strangling the trunk, so the trunk is not being able to access the nutrition from the roots, and the roots can't access nutrition from the leaves up above. That communication is getting lost there. So I would definitely have an arborist come out and look at your tree. They'll assess it on site, and they'll tell you what to do with those cracks. There's nothing you really can do, but they'd give you a good idea of if it's a damaged tree, if it's a dangerous tree, or if it's just something that you can correct by pulling the soil back from the girdling roots and cutting those roots, and what you can do to protect the tree, or if it has to come down because it's dangerous. Good luck with that.
Okay. This listener had to replace arborvitae because of the deer eating the plants. What's the process to cover with burlap, and what type of burlap do we need?
I probably would maybe, if you can, maybe not use a burlap. If you're going to use a burlap, wrap it very loosely and just use a natural one, not a synthetic burlap. Wrap it loosely. You still want the tree to be able to breathe and get some light in it during the winter time. Otherwise, a fence, a deer fence outside of the arborvitae will be really good. And I would also think about if it has multiple leaders inside and you're not going to lightly wrap it, I would then take a pantyhose and tie those leaders up gently so that in the heavy March snows it doesn't bend over and look weird and funky like a Dr. Seuss tree. Those are some of the options that I would think of. So because you want your evergreen to be green in the winter, that's probably why you've planted it, and covering it up with brown burlap kind of defeats the purpose of having a green evergreen. But wrap it lightly with natural burlap if that's the route you go on. Good luck with that.
Another tester says, is it too late to dig out an English yew and replace it? It's right next to the foundation.
If you're just going to dig it out this winter and replace it in the spring, that's fine. It's way too late to replace it with an evergreen now. The evergreens need 8 weeks to get adjusted to their new homes, and we do not have 8 weeks until the ground freezes. It's going to freeze way before then, so you don't have time to get your evergreen in. You do have time to remove it if you want to. What I'd probably do, if possible, I would just cut it to the ground and not disturb any of the soil. And then just plant your new plant in the spring, pull it out a little bit from the foundation, and just plant a little further away, maybe 3 or 4 feet away from the foundation, and let the plant have a lot of air circulation. When you disturb soil right by the foundation, that can cause water issues. So you want to disturb and dig in that soil as little as possible.
That's a good question. Which perennials do the birds like in the winter?
Oh, anything that has seed heads on it. So when you're seeing the monardas and the asters and all those other big seed heads out there, those are the ones that get the birds really happy because they're seeds. Also, when you leave them standing up, they can hide among some of the stems if a hawk's coming by. And all that stuff left up allows bees to get in there, native bees, and they can then lay their eggs, and you just protect the butterflies and everything else. So if you can leave those things standing up, anything with a seed head will make the birds nice and happy. So sometimes even your annuals, if you leave those up and they have seed heads on them, can also go to the extension website and they'll give you some great ideas for feeding the birds.
Yeah, do that, extension.umn.edu. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We have a few minutes left, of course, in the show, our Smart Garden show. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Now, well, there's just a reminder that coming along in the 9 o'clock hour, right after the news break, Andy Lindis will be joining us. So if you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd be glad to field those for you as well. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Denny Long with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those particular questions this morning. Here's another one for you, Teresa. We're going to try to get in as many. We might even be able to get them all in.
Cool.
If we do kind of a lightning round. What is the best time to trim the flowers off from my hydrangea bushes?
You can trim those whenever you want to trim those off. If you want to remove some so they don't drag down during the winter, the heavy snows, that's fine. So as soon as they start to dry up and look yucky or you don't like that look, go ahead and trim them off.
People are in a trimming mood this morning,
it sounds like. Everybody is in the fall, and it's like, it's not the best time to do it, but...
Well, here's another one yet. Is it too early to cut down my native grasses? I don't want to wait until spring.
Normally, we leave our grasses up all winter. That's for winter interest. It also allows the pollinators and the birds to enjoy the activities. That's why you plant the grasses. If you can, leave them up all winter. If you must cut them down, wait until the ground has frozen and then cut them back as far as you need to. But I would suggest leaving them up for the seed heads of the winter interest.
Here's yet another one. Should sedum be cut back?
I would, again, leave that up all winter. It's great for winter interest. You don't need to. If you have to cut anything back for any reason, if you're just one of those gardeners who like it really tidy, wait until the ground is frozen solid. Then you can cut your plants back.
Okay.
Your perennials.
This listener says, I have a viburnum competing for space with my witch hazel. I want the witch hazel to win. How far back can I cut that viburnum next early spring?
You know, you can cut most of those back pretty far. It's going to kind of look kind of lopsided, though. They normally can get along together. They'll just grow together into like a shrub, a big shrub. However, you can trim that viburnum back quite a bit. It's going to look a little lopsided, and then just let the hydrangea take over. If you're really just don't want the viburnum, just take it to the ground, and if it comes back, just keep it really small. Otherwise, you can just remove it totally and enjoy just the witch hazel. But together they would be beautiful. And your witch hazel should be blooming now.
Another viburnum question. Can I split viburnum?
Oh, it really depends on how, if it's suckering nicely, and then you can split it. You'd have to see what the root structure is. And if it's got a lot of suckers, you can probably take half of it or a quarter of it out in the spring and then move that away from it.
Why are the leaves on my houseplants so sticky?
Oh, dear. There's an insect on there, so I would start looking, and the Extension website has really good information about insects, houseplants, insects on houseplants. I'm thinking you might have something like spider mites or mealybugs on there, so I would do some investigation there. What you're seeing is the insects are sucking the juices out of the plant, and then it's all the sugars they're taking out, and then they're kind of just peeing, or that's called honeydew, and that comes out and that gets on the leaves and looks sticky. So that's a good indicator that there's some kind of insect on there. So do some digging, do some careful looking at the plant and all the little leaf axils and everything, and see if you can see any insects on there, and then go to the Extension website, identify it, and give you treatment options.
Another begonia question. Can you winter begonias?
Yes, treat them as a houseplant. Absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm.
This listener has a 12-foot by 2-foot area of Scottish moss. White clover has taken over 50% of it. When they weeded out the white clover, they got a dead patch of dirt. Is there any way to recover my Scottish moss from the white clover?
Sure. There's some options. I would go to the Extension website. It entails taking some of the Scotch moss and throwing it in a blender that you're probably never going to use again for your smoothies, and then with some milk or buttermilk, and making a slurry, and then spread that on the ground and keeping it damp and moist until that Scotch moss comes out there. But that's something you can do. I'd go to the Extension website for that.
Extension.umn.edu.
.edu. Thank you.
Yes.
I finished it in my brain, but it didn't come out my mouth. Thank you, Denny.
No problem. Can Swedish and German ivy be brought in for the winter?
Oh, definitely bring those in for the as a house plant. Again, all those plants you're bringing in, make sure you give them a good shower. Make sure you wash the pots and the saucers really well so you don't bring in any hitchhikers. Clean up the soil top so there's no sticks and leaves on there that could have hitchhikers on them. Bring them into the house. Keep them segregated from your other plants for, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks, just to make sure you didn't bring in any little creepy crawlies, and then put them with your other house plants in according to which light situation those new coming plants need. Good luck with that.
Okay. Last Christmas, Texter received an arrangement with 3 to 4 plants in. The evergreen, they think a cypress, has been outside all summer and now 4 feet tall. Will it be okay outside over winter?
No.
No.
It's an annual for us. You would need to bring that in, or you just say thank you very much and maybe decorate it for the holidays. It'll kind of brown up and just be a structure, and then you can send it to the compost pile in the spring or toss it in the compost pile now if you don't want to bring it inside.
This listener may be a candidate to head to the Apple House. They say, one of my favorite apples was the Regent. Stores don't have this variety. Where can
they
I find
don't.
This variety?
Look at your farmers markets if you have farmers markets. Become a friend to your local apple person. I have a special apple person I talk to at my farmers markets. Otherwise, then do head out to the Apple House at the Arboretum or just past the Arboretum and enjoy it. Regent is a great apple.
Okay, you go for an apple right now. Say we have.
That'd be good. Crunch, crunch.
Yeah, breakfast keeps the doctors away. Say
it
we
does.
Had a large area of black eyes. Susan's texter says that had seed heads left on them. A few weeks ago, all the heads have been cut or eaten off. We have a fenced-in yard, and the flower stems are 3 feet high. Could squirrels have done that damage?
Squirrels definitely, or chipmunks, yep. I have a friend who her garden has been decimated by bunnies and squirrel this year, and she has pots up by the house, and they have just been eating everything like little maniacs. So I don't know if the population's really big or if they're expecting a bad winter, but they're really plumping up on all of our stuff.
Okay. Any recommendation, listener says, to cut back an old, a 45-year-plus Concord grapevine that still produces lots of grapes?
I would go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. I don't want to give you the wrong timing for the grapevines because they do need to be cut back hard, and then you put them on their cordons and you grow it out that way. And I'm not a grape growing expert, and I'm not going to damage your 45-year-old grapevines. So do go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. It'll talk you right through how to trim back a grapevine for northern climates.
Good morning, Texter says. First time Texter, welcome to the show. Is this the time to seed for wildflowers or wait for a couple more weeks? Instructions say to plant late fall or spring.
I would wait a little while, and thanks for sending in your text for the first time. I'd wait a little while. Consider that just like dormant seeding. So we may not have that information on the Extension website, but look at dormant seeding for grasses. I'd also consider taking some of those wildflower mixes and doing something called winter sowing with them, and that's where you actually plant them in a milk jug in January, February, and you move that milk jug outside. And there's information on the internet about how to do that. It's called winter sowing. A lot of our native plants need to go through stratification, or they need to be out there in the winter cold and feel the freeze and the thaw and the freeze and the thaw to break those seed coats and wake them up in the spring. So I would get them in the ground either as dormant seeding or do a winter sowing and then plant those little plantlets on again in the spring.
Well, guess what, Teresa?
We're over. Oh, no. possible?
Yes, we're completely out of time. Quickly, let's tell folks to really check out the university website. We say that a lot, but we really mean it. You're going to love
do.
It if you haven't done so. Extension.umn.edu. And what about the Arboretum?
And go to the Arboretum. It's wonderful and beautiful. And buy some apples and some squashes and pumpkins out at the Apple House.
Yeah, the Apple House not far from the Arboretum. You can, two birds with one stone, as we say.
Exactly.
All right, Teresa, thanks so much.
Thanks,
always
Denny.
Fun. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks for sure.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Very good. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener here on CCO. Now, coming up right after the CCO News Break, CBS, and our local news with Al, we will be answering any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction will be stopping by as usual to answer those very questions. So keep those in mind. 651-461-9226 as we head to the news here on News Talk 830 WCCO.